Oh my God, Liv. People are always coming to me asking how to make six figures as a life coach. And I'm like, what? Like, it's hard?
It's easy if you just go to class. To get our free class on how to make six figures in your coaching business, all you need to do is text the words six figures to 813-212-8869.
Again, text six figures to 813-212-8869 to get our free class on how to make six figures as a life coach today.
Now let's get back to the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Six Figure Certified Podcast. I'm your host, Liv Chapman, and we finally are bringing some guests back to the show. Today, I have Sandy Patterson, and every time I say your name, I still think of that movie. I can't stop. I'm so sorry. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've actually never seen the movie before, but people will tell me all the time. They're like, is that really your name? Because I don't know anything about the movie. And I'm like, yes, that's my name.
Oh my God, it's on Netflix. It's so funny. If you're watching this, please comment below if you've seen Identity Theft on Netflix. That's what it is. Oh my gosh. But this is the real Sandy Patterson. This is the original Sandy Patterson. And she is an amazing certified coach and former teacher. And I especially wanted to have Sandy on the podcast today because we get so many teachers or former teachers that are like, get me the heck out of here. And we love the kids, but also we got the heck out of there. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited. It is such an honor to be here. Liv, you are like my, I always say like, I'm going to be Liv Chapman when I grow up.
Oh my God, you're so...
No, I do. I just adore you. I adore IGC and the whole team. And it's just an honor to be here and to share a little bit about my story and what I do and how other people can do it too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like we don't gatekeep anything. And Sandy and I have so much in common. It's funny, like we're both former elementary school teachers.
Yep.
We're both boy moms. Like before I hit record on this, we were just talking about our sons. And I'm like, is this normal? Like,
yes. Every time you post something about Robux, I'm like, oh,
yeah, Robux.
Work for Robux.
All of it. We are just doing the motto that we have is kind of like, just do the best we can.
Yeah. We're doing the best that we can.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. I'm like, nothing was as bad as when I was teaching.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Even when I have really shitty days, like I'll call my mom and be like, oh my gosh, I'm having the worst day. And I'm just like, it's fine though, because at least I don't have to go teach. At least I don't have to do that.
You know, I was having this crazy realization. So my kids are in public school now and I do really like their school. I'm in the best district, but I still have so many issues with it. And my friend said to me, she was like, Olivia, you left public education because of all the same issues. Like, why do you think that this would be okay for your sons? And I'm like, so I'm considering homeschooling in 2025 or 2026, TBD.
But, no, you're not. Are you?
Yeah.
Really? Oh my gosh, that would be so cool. I think the same thing all the time too, Liv. I honestly do, because I totally agree. I see all of the issues and it's so much bigger than like the teacher. It's never about
the teacher. Oh no, it's hardly the teacher.
It's the system. It's such a broken system. And I could talk all day about this.
Yeah.
But I always say, I'm like, I want to experience life with my kids. And I think those experiences that I give them and that we have together are so much more important than like fourth grade math. Right?
Anything.
Yeah.
I think we're so lucky. Like I'm with my kids all the time. One of my clients the other day was like, you remind me so much of Khloe Kardashian. And I'm like, oh my God, because she's like tall and like pretty. And she's like, no, because you never want to leave your house and you only ever are home with your kids. And I'm like, oh.
We are literally the same person. I agree. I'm like, I just want to meet my kids all the time.
I know. And then I think to myself, I'm like, how bad, like, I still feel like I miss some of their life, like either when they're at school or like there are some days where I'm working, you know, at night, or mostly if I'm working at night, it's because I didn't work all day.
Yes. Yeah.
It's random things, you know, and I'm sure the same for you, like if you're hosting an event or traveling or something, but I'm like, quantity wise, we must get so much more time and flexibility with our kids. So
not only quantity, but also quality. Like yeah. That was a big shift for me when I was like, screw this. Like, yeah. I'm not doing this anymore.
I want to hear more about that part. Like your exact story, because I I didn't have my own kids yet when I had quit teaching. I like accidentally got pregnant with my first one right after. So that was different, but I didn't know that I would want to be with my kids all the time, because I found kids to be a little bit annoying at that point. But like, how did you, like, were they your driving factor?
Yes. And yes, yes. And yes. And no. Yes. I mean, absolutely. They were 100%. I tell this story often. I don't know if you've heard this before, but like, people ask me all the time, like, what was the moment? Like, did you have a moment where you knew that like your real job like wasn't going to be it anymore? And I have a very, very distinct moment. It was a Monday morning, and looking back, like in hindsight, like this had been brewing for a long time, probably even from when I first started teaching. Like,
whoa, okay.
So, I just, you know, you just ignore things. You're like, oh, this is just how it is. Oh, this is, everybody feels like this. Oh, everybody works for free. Everybody stays late. Everybody, you know, does these things and is miserable until, you know, June hits. And then, you know, you get to kind of recoup and recalibrate. So it was a Monday morning for me, and it was probably like 6 a.m. and I'm like loading them, and they were little at the time. They were like, gosh, they were probably like 5 and 3 at that time.
Oh my God, that's my favorite. Okay.
You know, they're so fun. They were 5 and 3. And so I'm like loading them into the car. It's dark outside to take them up to my mother-in-law, so my mother-in-law could do the drop off and like, you know, getting the lunches and all the things. Like, just not a great situation. But again, it's like, that's just what we do. That's what people do, right? Like, this is just what we do.
Yeah.
So I'm driving them up to my mother-in-law's, and I said to them, I said, oh my goodness, you guys, I cannot wait. I already cannot wait until next weekend. And my oldest son like looks at me. I can see his little face in like the rear view mirror. And he says, yeah, because you hate your job. And it kind of like,
okay,
like, stopped me. And I was like, well, he's not wrong. But I told him, I said, it's not that I hate my job. I said, it's just that I love you more. And for me, that was the moment when I was just like this, like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, it's just not worth it. And we're not guaranteed. Like, life is so short, and I didn't love who I was at the end of the day. That was like the biggest thing. I hated who I was becoming. I hated who I was showing up for my family. Like, they got the scraps of me, like, not fun. Like, and I wasn't enjoying life either. Like, it sucked. So, and again, this is never to say, and you'll agree with this, like, this is never, I'm never ever trying to get anyone to like their job or leave teaching or talk bad about teachers. Like, it is never that. I love teachers, but I also, like, my whole mission and my whole goal is like to show people and to pave the way and just be like, if I can do this, you can do it too. Like, there's no reason why, if you feel stuck somewhere, whether it's teaching or a relationship or a 9-to-5 job or a location, like whatever it is, you are only stuck because you say you're stuck. Like, there's a way to get out of everything.
I just can hear all of the buts though that people will have, like, but my benefits and but my paycheck and but like mine was when I was leaving teaching, I was like, oh, but I just like got my master's and now I feel like it was a waste.
Well,
all of that pushback, like, where they're just, people just try to talk themselves out of what they want over and over. And then you're, you know, 40, 50, 60, and you're like, what the hell was that? I still feel like that sometimes with certain areas of my life. And I'm like, next decade is it for me. But I mean, I feel like your story is like, you were missing out on your kids. And I feel like that is very relevant. And if you're not there yet too, like, I just felt like I was missing out on like any of my life. Like, my friends in DC that had a lot of money, they were working at like consulting firms and stuff. And so like when they left work, like they could go out to fancy dinners, they could take vacation. Like, I was struggling all day, but then I couldn't even afford my life outside of the classroom.
I totally, totally feel you. And I think about the days, like, you know, as a teacher, when you are like, maybe you have like a planning day the next day, or maybe it's like a PD, or like, it's just like a lighter day for you, that it's rare that that ever happens. But like that feeling of like the night before of like, oh, like I don't have to stress about the next day. I'm not, my brain isn't going like 1,000 miles a minute. That's how every day for me feels now. Like, I feel like I'm making an impact, but I'm doing it in a way that doesn't like drain me at the end of the day.
That takes a while to kind of like get your body to catch up to your mind though.
Well,
right. Like I felt like it took me years to like unwire that, like must get up at, you know, 5 a.m. and just rush. I mean, you still get up at 5 a.m. because you like it.
Yeah.
I know you do. Don't you? Yes. Okay. But like it took forever to get, like I would be worried about nothing because my brain was so used to being worried.
Oh gosh, 100%. Well, that, and you say like it takes a while for your like brain to catch up with you. That's exactly why I hired a life coach. Like that's how I learned about life coaching, because I was like, I'm going to need help like figuring this out. Like I don't know how to transition. I don't know how to like
be. Okay, so you knew you wanted to get out of teaching. And then you hired a coach. We like literally did the same thing.
I know, we're the same person. I know.
But like the practical thing of like, okay, you were teaching, you had this moment in the car with the kids where you're like, enough is enough. Then you were like, you knew you wanted to do something else, but you didn't think to become a coach, you hired a coach.
Correct. At that time I had started a freelance business. So I did this prior to leaving. Like I knew, so I had that moment and I was like, okay, I got to do something. Like, I'm not just going to like,
yeah,
you know, you kind of got to fill that space. Right. And you got to, you know, got to figure something out. So I had started a freelance business at that time, writing curriculum, and it was going great. Like it was fine, but I was like, this is cool. But it's not, I think as a teacher, and you know this, like anybody that goes into teaching wants to help people on a deeper level. And that's that like drive and that need is never, ever going to go away, regardless of where you're at.
Yeah.
It's just that there are different ways to help people outside of teaching that I think we don't, like, I didn't realize that
until yeah.
I was out and doing something else. But I knew at that point that like, okay, this curriculum writing like is good and great and it's paying the bills and it's doing what it needs to do. But like, this isn't my forever thing. Like, I'm not going to do this forever. So what is that forever thing for me? What is my calling essentially?
Yeah. Well, so in creating curriculum, you're not really like interacting with humans very often, right? So like, I feel like that's also the gap. Like, I think teachers, like you're in front of a classroom all day, right? So there's like a degree of like performing kind of.
Yeah.
And also nonstop interaction with other people, which is also a little bit too much. But I think that coaching is such a good in-between of that, where you get to have those on times where you're like, really getting, you know, get to show up, get to teach, get to experience other people and watch their growth. And then it's also like, but you have your own schedule. So you're not like,
yes, you're
dying
not
at the end of the day.
Oh, and I have quite a few people that at the same time they were leaving teaching too. And you know, you kind of find your community, you find your people that you can kind of lean on and be like, oh my gosh, like what's happening?
Yeah.
And they all, one of the things that they all have said to me at some point in time is exactly that. Like, I don't miss teaching, but I miss the community. I miss the interaction with like adults and not just my kids, you know,
on
the off time. So that for me too, it has been a really big part of my own coaching practice, right? Is like, how do I build community? How do we build those relationships in other ways? And especially too, as adult women, like making friends is not the easiest thing, right? Like you gotta work for it. So
yeah. But you also do your bar classes and stuff too. So right, I feel like that's like just a cool thing. It's like one of the things you realize when you go into entrepreneurship, and I'm just using air quotes because I'm like, entrepreneurship to me is like starting, it's not just starting one company. It's like starting many or many forms of income and like constantly being creative. But I feel like people who go into that, sometimes we get so locked in on like how life should look, mm-hmm. almost like where we turn our blinders to other things. And one of the things I always said is like, if you're not having fun, like you're doing it wrong. Like you teaching bar, it's like, I don't want to say it's not for the money. I'm sure having a little extra money is great, but it's like, because you love it. Like, why am I signed up to be a substitute teacher at my kid's school again this year? Like do it once or twice, like a year, honestly, I'm going to try for once a month, but it's like, I actually do love it. I just don't want to have, that's not my life. You know,
can we get like some video of you subbing? I would.
Oh my God. Back to the classroom.
Yes.
But like it is, I never left teaching because of the kids. I left teaching because of the regulations and the state testing and all the bullshit that went into it and just being purely exhausted from not actually being able to help the students in the way that I felt, but like literally anyone with a conscience felt that they needed to be helped.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I do love teaching. I love, like, you know, working with kids. And I feel like it's less about like building a business and more about building a life. And
oh,
like,
gosh, yes,
liking all of the different aspects of it. Like, I do like that after we record this, I am going to go watch a show until my kids get home because I have like this little extra hour and I'm very tired. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, those are like the little things. Like, I'm going to be in such a better mood to be with them and go to football practice and everything because I'm going to take this little break and I'm not like.
Yes. Okay. I have two questions. First thing, what are you watching? What are you going to watch?
Oh my God. It's really bad. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
I just started that. So.
Okay. I know. It's like, I can't watch like a true crime, like investigative documentary in the middle of the day. That's for weekends when I have more energy to put into solving the crime. But like on a weekday afternoon, if I get the chance to just like decompress, it's got to be stupid reality TV.
Random Thursday, Love is Blind.
Yes.
Fiance. Yes.
Yes. Do you know Love is Blind DC is coming? And I was like, oh my God, please tell me that there's no men on the show that I've hooked up with in my past. There weren't. We were good.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The second thing is that need to like be busy, 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 busy. Like did that take you a long time to get out of?
Yeah. I still need to remind myself of that.
Same.
Yeah. It's not even like, I even just comparing myself to other parents and I'm like, feel a little guilty, you know, still in my yoga clothes when I go, like, you know, I pick the kids up, they have an appointment like every Tuesday at 11. And I'm like, just kind of, I swear, oh my God, Sandy, you're going to crack up. Do you know that at my kids' old school, it wasn't until the last day of school when a teacher was like, so are you going to be teaching yoga when you move? And I'm like, what? And she was like, aren't you a yoga teacher? And I was like, no. And she's like, everyone thinks you're a yoga teacher because I'm never not in yoga clothes. Horrifying. But I already got that comment. I already got the comment at the new school. So I'm like,
but here's the thing. You don't have to feel guilty about like taking a random Thursday afternoon and watching, you know,
right.
Like, because essentially, again, what you're doing is showing women that that's possible.
No, you're right. And sometimes when I have this like moment of guilt of like taking care of myself, I remember, like, God bless my mom. Like, we don't have a great relationship, but I cannot remember one moment in my childhood where I ever saw her watch a show, where I ever saw her reading a book or like taking a nap. And I cannot, I'm telling you, I even called my sister about this and I was like, I don't ever remember mom like not doing something.
I'm just having a moment right now because I'm like, oh my God. Did I ever see my mom take a
break? Right. And like, that's okay. Like that, it was different generation. And also my mom didn't really work. She had moments where she worked, but she had five kids. And like, I never saw her taking care of herself. She didn't go get her nails done she got her hair done once, but like, I feel like as trivial or silly as it may sound, like one of the generational curses, if you will, that we're breaking in this house is like allowing us to relax.
Yes. Like,
do nothing.
We're doing our kids a favor when we take a random nap on a Wednesday afternoon at noon.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No.
I want my kids to value their own rest. And when you're in this like nonstop, like, we got to be here, we got to be there. And trust me, I'm not a late person. I don't like my kids to be late for anything. I do believe that they need to have structure. And like, if you commit to something, you're doing it and you're doing it on time. But I think I've really had to practice and have finally found some success in like releasing this attachment to constantly be doing something productive.
Yes, I agree with you. We actually started implementing something in our house. Sound like a teacher, huh? Implementing.
Yes.
I call it Go Nowhere Sunday. And on Sundays, like, we don't go anywhere. Like, the car does not leave the house. Like, you can leave your pajamas on all day. Like, just chill. Because I think what you're saying, like, we live in such this culture of like, go, go, hustle, 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 more, more, more. They're like, we all just need a break. Like, we need to just breathe and not feel like we need to produce anything or do something. And so people know, like, they don't ask me to do anything on Sundays anymore because they know I'm like,
same way. I tell the kids, like, after we get home from church, we are not leaving the house. So if there is something you need, it has to happen on that thing only. And even now, I was saying the other day, I'm like Googling, like, so I'm like, maybe before I go into full blown homeschooling vibe, I will put the kids in a 4-day district, which there's a lot of now I've been finding because I'm like, you need one day to like do activities that are fun. Mm-hmm. One day to catch up on. We do have to sometimes do laundry, unfortunately, or like, you know, house things. And then we need one day to do absolutely nothing.
Yes.
And we have sports on Saturdays and church on Sunday, which, you know, but I'm like, there is sometimes like when I take a day off, Everyone's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing, not leaving my couch or my bed. I'm going to go from one lay down position to another.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many women that I come across, because, you know, at the studio, like, it's like, hey, what do you have going on this weekend? How many women are just like, I got to do blah, blah, blah. I got to run the kids here. I got to go to this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, oh, sounds so awful. Like, why do that to yourself?
Okay, Sandy, this is hysterical too, because I'm starting dating again. People ask me what I like to do for fun. And I dead ass, like, don't know what to say. I'm like, I used to be fun and I would tell you all of these things that I love to do, but now I'm like, now I have to try to get a relationship that just likes to watch shows. Cause I'm like, oh my God, do you know how many outfits I have to wear now if I have to go on these dates?
No, I think that relationship exists. I think that is a very beautiful relationship where someone's like, yes, I just want to chill too.
Oh my God, all these guys are like, I'm looking for like an active girl who loves to travel and do activities. And I'm like, once a month, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Okay, so there were actually some legit things I wanted to ask you, because I really hope that teachers are watching this and they're like, probably a little bit like, this sounds too good to be true, maybe, unless you're like, why do these girls want to watch so much TV? But like, it's not about the TV. It's about the do whatever you want spaciousness of your day that you just can't get in, not just teaching, but any 9 to 5. I was talking earlier, I'm like, do I know anyone who's genuinely happy that they're working 40 plus hours a week? A woman, men, whatever, you should be out there working. Sorry to say it, but you should. Like, women though, I cannot think of one personal friend or family member that I have that is thrilled working their 9 to 5 or, you know, 40 plus hour a week job. Not that they don't exist. I just probably don't know them because of, yeah, you know.
I don't know if I know anybody like that too.
I don't either, but I'm like, I'm sure they exist somewhere, but like, if they got to choose, would they really choose that strenuous of a schedule?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to ask them, because I still have a lot of teacher friends who I just adore and I love. And yeah. I'm going to ask them.
The best way to say it is like, would you do what you're doing right now if you didn't need the money?
That's the question.
I was asked that a while ago about coaching, and I actually brought this up in another episode, but like, I really genuinely think I would.
Totally agree. 100% I agree. It is because again, like, I feel like anybody that is like in a service-based position, like, you just want to impact people, and there's a way to do it again that feels good and that doesn't just suck the life out of you.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes I'm like, well, if I never needed money, like, I'm sure I would, like, you know, probably spend more time trying to, you know, finish writing my book or like be a little bit more creative, like, you know, go speak at these places that, you know, I won't speak at because they're not paying well enough, but like, I really wish I could be there. Yeah. But like, sometimes you can't make all of those decisions. I don't know if you can hear my ice maker. Sometimes you can't make all of those decisions, like, when you actually do need money. So it's just interesting to think about. But I'm like, I would do a lot of some of these requests that we get for business all the time if money didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I love that. It's a good question.
Okay. So how long were you like in the half being a teacher, half being an entrepreneur phase? Like, how long did that take for you to like get out of it fully?
Yeah, I would say probably about 6 months by the time that I like decided like, this is it. And then I was like, I'll finish out the school year. Cause I, there were many days where I was like, I'm just going to walk out the door and like not come back. Like, that's
I did that. And then I came back cause I felt bad.
Like, I'm like, I'll finish out the school year.
Yeah.
I didn't want to burn any bridges. I didn't want to just like, I don't know, but it was tough, but at least I had like an end sight. Like, I was like, okay, you could just do it until, you know, there's your point. Yeah.
Well, I think anybody needs an end, like, you need an end game, whether it's like a 6 month plan or a 2 year plan, like,
Has to happen. Yeah. So it was about 6 months when I started that freelance curriculum writing business. I was working those full time. And that was the time too, that I was also training to become a bar instructor. So I was like trying to put like all of these puzzle pieces in place, because I knew that I was getting ready to transition and I needed to have things in place in order to feel comfortable making that happen. So that was like a crazy, crazy time. Like, it was busy, but again, I was like, I'm willing to like let this be really difficult for this short amount of time, because I could see the end game, right? Like, I could see the light.
Well, it's like, are you willing to risk short-term discomfort for long-term flexibility? I don't want to say it's always comfortable being an entrepreneur. Like, I'm insanely uncomfortable on a daily basis, but not uncomfortable, like trapped, stuck, suffocating kind of feeling.
Yeah.
more like I'm living on the edge and taking, you know, making risky, not like risky, but like taking risks, I guess you could say, or like putting myself out there and fear of rejection and all of that. But I think that you bring up a good point, because I was also around the 6 month mark. I think I started coach training in like, I think the end of March. And I was like, I have to make enough money so I don't have to go back to school in August. And so I was finishing out the rest of that school year and working on my coaching classes and my coaching business, like before and after school. And then I had the summer, but you know, I also had to do a million other things in the summer. Like I was tutoring, I was pet sitting, I was babysitting. I had also started writing curriculum for like different teen girl programs. So I would do those for like nothing at different schools and organizations, and just kind of like putting the pieces together until I really like nailed down the business model and then was able to like not go back to school in August.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too, and you kind of brought this up before. What comes up for me when you talk about that is like, because I remember thinking like, I just want to have this like this certain amount of safety net, like this cushion that I have like saved up. So like if things like go downhill, at least I'll have like 2 or 3 months where like we'll be okay and I can like go get a job at Trader Joe's or whatever. Like it'll be fine. But it's funny what I found over time, and I'll still have that. And you say like risk, like essentially when you're in entrepreneurship and you own a business, like it's risk all the time, right? Like it could just all go away tomorrow. It's not going to, but like, that's what your brain kind of will talk
about. Your brain convinces you of that, but literally like, unless you go away tomorrow, it's not going anywhere.
So what I've come to find though, is my brain will like kick in and be like, oh my gosh, you need like the safety net, you need this cushion. And so often I think that we think, well, when I have this, then I'll feel confident. Or when I have this going, then I'll go ahead and do this, whatever big thing that it is. It's so irrelevant. It's like the number, the amount, the circumstance, whatever it is so irrelevant. And that's one like big thing I think I've learned over these past couple of years is like, you just move, just go, and you will figure it out as you go. Yeah.
The universe will catch up to you.
Mm-hmm. It always does. It always does.
Yeah. I don't even think, I mean, obviously there's so many variables, like people, kids, and having a spouse or not having a spouse. But you have to also look at yourself. Like if you would get up every morning and go to that job, whether it's teaching or something else, and you barely missed a day and you always got your stuff done, and despite how difficult it felt, you kept it moving. Why do you not think you would do that for yourself in your own business? I don't get it. Like, you don't just change as a person. And like, you know what I mean? Like your drive to succeed and do a good job does not just like disappear because you're not working in a classroom.
Yeah. But it's something about the consistency. I believe like the consistency and like knowing that like this day, this amount of money is going to be deposited into my account and there's no question about it. It's the familiar and it's the comfortable, like talking about risk, right? Like an entrepreneur, you have amazing months where you just blow it out of the water. And then you have months where you're like,
Well, and that's where you come in too, because I feel like you are very good at coaching around like setting up a business, like, and all of the foundations of business so that people don't have to have those like feast or famine type of situations. And it's like just steady, consistent income. And let's be, no company, big or small, makes the same amount of money every single month. Okay. Like that's just like your job pays you that because you're going to do the same thing every single day and every single month for the rest of your life. And that's boring.
And they're going to pay you the same that they're paying Joe Schmo next door, who's not doing shit.
Exactly. You can go to the same 4-year school and still be a higher performer than anyone else that you work with and get paid the exact same.
Yeah.
That just actually is a very infuriating.
The other thing too that you're talking about too is like the risk too, and you're talking about how there's different variables, like there's kids and there's no kids, and do you have a spouse and do you not have a spouse? But it's interesting because you could look at that two ways. Like, okay, I have kids, so like I've got people relying on me. Like that's a
big one. If I didn't get pregnant, right? I don't think I would be here right now.
Yeah, but then people without, you know, kids or a spouse are like, oh, it's just me. I'm just relying on me. Like, I don't have any support. So it goes either way. Like, it's just going to be hard.
Like, is it your excuse or is it your reason? That's what I ask myself all the time. Am I using my kids as an excuse to, I mean, it can just be little things like not get stuff done, not be social, not whatever, or are they the reason? Like, and I have to reframe a lot of my life for that,
yeah.
Right? Like, why am I not achieving certain things that I have set out to do this year? And I'm like, oh, but the kids, no, like they're the reason I should be doing that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So you can look at it either way. I think even just reframing your mindset around it is going to feel risky to some people listening or watching this because mm-hmm. We are not taught to do this in school.
Nope.
We're not taught to do this at home typically, unless you got lucky and got some like very, you know, entrepreneurial, creative parents. I didn't. I mean, my dad didn't talk to me for years when I quit my teaching job.
Really?
Like, really? Yeah, because my sister and I were a couple of the first ones in our family to even go to college. And mm-hmm. then she was in like marketing or communication, so kind of never really had a job at first because it's like such a random, it's not a random yeah. major, but you know what I mean? It's not like this set thing. But I was the first one who just like followed the path. Mm-hmm. I got a teaching job like before I even graduated. And it was like, how could you ever? Like no one turns down a reliable job.
No, because
it was very safe. And it just was like, I don't know. People ask, they must ask you that too. Like, how do you know when? I don't know. I just like remember I was sitting in traffic. This is like my very dramatic departure story. I was sitting in traffic driving like into DC, which was like at least an hour. Mm-hmm. Either way, if there was an accident, it was 2 hours both ways. And I remember thinking to myself, everyone who works in DC goes out to the Delaware, Maryland beaches in the summer. And we were like approaching spring. So people were starting to kind of pick their houses out with their friends and like starting to take off every Friday. And I remember sitting there, it's exactly from where I was sitting, 2 hours to work. And it was exactly 2 hours to get out to the beach. And I was like, why am I here? Yeah. All of my friends were going to the beach. So I literally like quit my job on the phone that day. But I ended up going back. I ended up going back and finishing the finishing the school year. But it was like between that and just having a lot of realizations from like books I had been reading. And I don't know. It's like a culmination of events. I think we are so often people get mistaken and think it's this like overnight success or like over. Mm-hmm. But it isn't. It's like that was the moment that I was like, I'm like not going in today. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to like tell them that I'm not going to be coming back either. After the school year, but it wasn't just like that moment that I looked at the GPS on my phone.
Right. It's like you said, it's a culmination. And I think there's something really special about stepping into entrepreneurship because everybody that I've ever worked with or been around in this space has that deep, innate, like gut feeling that there's more out there. Like yeah. This doesn't have to be how it is. This can be what I want to make it. And I trust myself enough to know that even when I'm like not feeling confident or even when I'm scared, I still trust myself enough to know that like, I'm going to figure it out. Like we're going to make
it. Because you're the person who figures it out. Like you don't leave, like, just like we were saying, it takes a long time to like break these patterns of like overworking ourselves and constantly needing to be productive. You, wherever you go, there you are. So if you were highly successful and highly motivated, even under the conditions that you didn't like in the classroom or in corporate, you don't lose that part of yourself.
No.
Like it applies to you and your business too. And teachers are just exceptional with that though. Like you could work under, I look at these teachers now and I'm just like, I didn't even have to do this, but it's like the school safety, we'll say, school safety protocols and procedures that they have to be trained on. And like, do you know what I'm saying? I'm like, it just keeps getting worse and worse.
It's awful. Yeah. And I, again, like love teachers. If that is what lights you up and makes you feel great, then more power
to you. Yeah, do it. And also, like, I don't think there's any possible way that having a slightly unstable income could be more stressful than some of those experiences that teachers are put up against on a day-to-day basis.
I agree. And I think that it changes you at a very, very deep traumatic level. And I can say that because I went through it. Like I taught through COVID, I taught through, you know, lockdowns and evacuations and, you know, active shooter things. Like it's just, it changes you. And it, again, it's like, I think people just sit in it as like, this is just how it is now. This is just how it has to be, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate this conversation. The last thing I feel like I saw something that you wrote once about like, where someone had commented, like, so what happens to the kids if we all just quit teaching? And you were like, that's never going to happen. Like,
well, yeah,
there's always, teachers vying for jobs and the young girls mostly coming out of college, like excited. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to lose that. Like there are some amazing older teachers that are just meant for that. But I think we have to release some of that like shame or guilt we would feel leaving.
Yeah, I distinctly remember that comment, and I know exactly what you're talking about. She was like, what are you doing? You get everyone to quit. And I kind of just laughed and I was like, you know what? Like, no, I'm not trying to get everybody to quit. But also like, you're asking what's going to happen to the students if the teachers leave. Like, I'll tell you what will happen to the students. They'll hire someone else. Just like when I left my job, it was like, I was just a number. Like there was no like, thank you for your service. We're going to admit, I mean, from my colleagues, yes, but like from the admin level, like it was just like, you know, whatever. And I was like, I'll own this. I was a really, really good teacher. Like, and I'm sure
you are. You're like, you student taught for us and train with us. Like, I know you're good.
Yeah, no, but I was
like the best teacher, actually. What did you teach? Like second grade or something?
Second was my favorite. I taught kindergarten leaving.
But my God. Of course you did. That's so on brand for you.
That's a whole other episode. But in regards to that comment, I was like, they replaced you. They will replace the teachers, but you know who I'm not replaceable to? My own family.
Yes.
Nobody batted an eye. Nobody was like, don't leave for the kid. Like, don't leave. Like, it was like, okay, go. And then I was replaced and the kids are fine. Like, they don't know any different.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're not replaceable at home.
No, you're not.
I always tell the kids now, they're like, why can't we go out at night? I'm like, because I can't die. You're all I have. Or I'm all you. I'm joking. I'm so dramatic. I mean, it's such a good, it's a huge wake up call, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
I know. We just could go keep going. But I want to thank you for being here and for this very candid conversation that we got to have. I feel like a lot of women will need to hear this and maybe get a little bit triggered by this for a better word. And that's okay too. Like I was very much, I remember when I met Katie was my first coach. And I remember being a teacher at the time and being like, of course she gets to live that life. Of course she gets to do that. And it took me a long time. You can even ask her this for me to finally be like, wait, I guess I could do, maybe I could I do that? Like, would I do that? You know what I mean? Cause I'm like, but here, I guess the thing is if it keeps coming up in your vision or in your brain or in your heart, it's like, it's not going to go away. So.
Yes. That is so, so true. It is so true. I don't even have anything else to say. I'm just like, yes.
Well, I do. So thank you all for being. I'm going to leave all of Sandy's information in the comments or in the show notes. So feel free to connect with her. Sandy, what's your Instagram?
It's Hello Sandy Patterson.
Yeah. So again, it's just the same name as the movie Identity Theft, just to bring us full circle.
Yeah. I was going to say, I got to change my Instagram handle to like the original Sandy Patterson.
Oh yeah. The OG Sandy Patterson. You can connect with her. She offers a ton of free information, classes, resources around starting your business, your coaching business, or any service-based business. She's really a pro at like figuring out how to set up a solid foundation to start making a steady income so that you can like make that jump out of, you know, teaching or whatever it is that's keeping you feeling stuck. So
yes,
leave all that.
This was so fun. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, everybody. Like and subscribe.